sure am thankful for his grace this evening. God bless you. It's good to be in service. Let's stand, please. This is 105 in your hymn book.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, that lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. how you feel tonight? Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be together again tonight to worship the Lord together, and had a testimony I wanted to share with you. Brother Mike Eplin had a bone scan that showed a suspicious growth last week. So he had a follow-up MRI, and the oncologist told him there was nothing there. They had no way to explain it, but whatever had showed up on the bone scan the previous week did not show up on the MRI. Brother Mike testified to them that God intervened and removed whatever was on the bone scan. So amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we'll just continue to believe that the same God that can do that can heal him completely. Amen. And just agreeing together in that regard. And we've got several unspoken prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord, and quite a few that are sick this evening. Naomi Nicholson, she's not feeling well. Also, Sister Anna Mae Eamon, not feeling well. And Sister Sherry Eplin's not feeling well. And then my little grandniece, Peyton, she's going to a children's hospital on Friday morning for another swallow test and for the doctors to look at her feet and discuss some additional options for casts because of her muscle development that she had issues with early on, and that's why she's been having the injections that she's had, the enzyme injections and things. Her feet are kind of bent down like that, where the muscles haven't contracted the way that they should, so they were trying to put a cast on her ankles there so that her legs would be able to pull those feet back up, the muscles, the right way. And they put two sets of casts on her, and she's broke them off within a couple hours. So they're trying to determine a way to keep those casts on her. So you know how these Bryants are. You know, you just can't. But just keep her in prayer that her swallow test will go well tomorrow, and that the doctors will come up with a solution to help with that. And also, Sister Amanda Scott requested we pray for her husband, Cole. Brother Cole's having a follow-up MRI on his back, so we just want to expect a good report from that. And then Brother Joshua Carter, he's having shoulder surgery scheduled tomorrow morning, Lord willing, so I want to remember him in prayer. The doctors, God will just guide their hands, the surgeons, and that he'll have a quick recovery. And then Brother Furman asked that we please pray for Tim Coblentz. He is an Amish preacher and also Brother Furman's aunt's brother. He has cancer throughout his body, and he's admitted at U of L Hospital. He's only 52 years old, so I want to remember that situation in prayer. And Brother Japheth asked that we remember the father of his business partner's fiance, who is in the hospital dying of cancer, and the doctors don't think he'll make it through the night. But several needy requests here, but we know that the Lord is more than able, that he hears and answers prayer, and we know that prayer changes things. So we just want to lift these before the Lord tonight. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests that you like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Lee, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests, brother?
Let's all bow our heads. Father, you know all things, Lord Jesus. You know every heart, every hand that's been raised to you tonight. Lord, you know every prayer request, Lord. It's been brought across this platform already. Lord, just help us to take another look at Calvary, what you've already done for us, Lord. God, your prophet said, Lord, if you stood here with a suit on that you gave me and I couldn't heal you, I've already done it. Lord, you asked us to do one thing, and that was to have faith in thy word and what you've already done. God, we know that you heard every request tonight. Lord, may you meet that need, Lord. Give us faith, Lord, just to believe in what you've already taken place at Calvary. You've healed every one of us. You've saved every one of us. It's left up to us to believe. And that's what your word says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Great God, take these things before your throne, Lord. Meet them tonight. Bless the speaker tonight. Help us to worship you the way that we should, Lord. Help us come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, asking these things. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Hoover.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask that you would just pray for me. Got a little bit of a sinus congestion. I think it's the after effects of camp. Just came out of one of the greatest meetings I've ever been in my life. But I come tonight with a scripture upon my heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brother Branham said one day that there was hungry-hearted eagles that reach for that. I'm one of those. I'm hungry for more of him tonight. Amen.
I want Jesus in my life. More than anything this world can offer me, for I know that he alone can satisfy. Just to know he's moving in my life is worth everything that I might sacrifice. Oh, I want Jesus more than anything. So take the faith, my bond, can be no other way.
appreciate that. Amen. God bless you. Our brother Will Andy's visiting with us tonight. I've asked him if he would sing for us this evening. So you just enjoy these special songs. God bless you.
And God bless you guys tonight. We didn't practice, so it seems to be the standard norm around here when I come. So we're just going to praise the Lord anyhow. These words here, sometimes you need the words in life. Let's go up a little bit.
Well, I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joy with you I'll share. Oh, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna leave this world of sin and go sail through the air. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship, going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until those heavens ring, while I'm bidding this old sinful world goodbye. Well, I can scarcely wait, I know I won't be late. I'm gonna spend all my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship, going far, far, far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring, while I'm bidding this old sinful world goodbye. If you're
Brother Will. God bless you. Sure appreciate that. If the brothers would please come at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Yes, I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out to you.
There's an anchor. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Nathan prepares to come.
The anchor holds, yes, though the ship gets battered. Oh, the anchor holds, the sails are torn.
Maybe you've been facing storms in your life, but aren't you thankful you have an anchor tonight? My anchor holds. Though my ship gets battered, oh, the anchor holds. Though sometimes the sails are torn. But the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Why don't we sing it one more time to him? Oh, the anchor holds. Thank you, Lord. Though the ship it's battered. Thank God for an anchor in the time of storm.
Amen. God bless you tonight. And you pray with me tonight. My voice isn't 100% back from the weekend, and I felt like I was on vacation there for a little bit, having Brother Danny take the services, and certainly enjoyed the special meetings. I told him the other day, I said, if it didn't help anybody else, it certainly helped me, but I believe that it helped others as well, and I believe we were all blessed by the services, so certainly appreciate him and Sister Michelle coming to be with us. And he had texted me a little earlier, said they made it home safe, so I was glad to hear that. And I think they flew in today, and he was going to, if I understand correctly, take the service tonight. So remember him in prayer. When you pour out like that, sometimes it just takes the Lord to fill you back up. So I appreciate him coming and preaching his heart out for us and delivering what the Lord had laid on his heart. And Brother Furman was telling me, I hope you don't mind me sharing it. He was telling me down in the basement, he said, well, I know it's going to be a good service tonight, he said, because I'm hungry. And he said, physically and spiritually. And then I believe it was Brother Hoover got up and said he was hungering and thirsting after righteousness tonight. So I know that if we come in that way, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, I believe the Lord will come and fill us. And then if you can bear with me for about 2.5 hours, you can get filled physically too. No, I'm just teasing it. I don't think it'll be that long tonight. But turn with me, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel, St. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And we've been looking at this thought for some weeks here on spiritual abuse, and we want to pick that up again tonight with the help of the Lord. St. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Amen and amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the word, and let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Father, I just pray that you would come in our midst in a special way, Lord, and Father, may you just take complete control of all that is said and done. Lord, we thank you for the songs that we've heard, Lord, the songs of Zion, Lord, to worship you and to praise you in that manner, and Lord, the hymns that the congregation have sang together and the specials that were sang, Lord, we thank you for it, and we thank you for your presence. But now, Lord, as we begin to look into the Word, I'm reminded of how your prophet would tell us many, many times that any man that has the physical ability to pick up a book can turn the physical pages and open the pages of this Bible, but that it takes you, Lord, to come and actually open the Word to us by revelation. So we ask tonight that you would come and help us, Lord. May you open up our understanding, Lord, more than it's ever been. May you reveal more to us than we've ever seen. May you just move on the scene, just pour out a blessing. Lord, as the brothers have testified, they came hungry tonight, Father. So may you honor that hungering and thirsting in their life, and may you fill them tonight, we pray. Lord, for each person that's gathered here in divine presence, may we go out of here closer to you than we was when we came in, Father. We'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. You help me preach tonight. We've got quite a few families out due to sickness and traveling and things like that. So you just amen a little louder and pull a little harder to make up the difference, and we'll get through it with the help of the Lord. But Jesus here speaking to the Pharisees as they come and they ask him about the kingdom of God, and he points out to them, and we want to look at this tonight with the help of the Lord, how that he tells them that it's not a geographic location. The kingdom of heaven, he's speaking about being within you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we've looked at before. But when they come and they ask him about the kingdom, he doesn't give them longitude and latitude. He doesn't give them a map. He doesn't give them a GPS location.
He doesn't point them to a building. He doesn't point them to a city or a state. But he says that the kingdom of God is within you. But we find many times when there's a spiritual move of God, and I was discussing it with Brother Danny over the weekend as we were sharing different things with one another. I watch many times when God begins to do something and God begins to work and God begins to move and to stir the people's hearts. Brother Branham talks to us about how that there are twins. He said it's always been twins down through the ages. He said in the beginning it was Cain and Abel, and then it came down with Esau and Jacob, and then down to Judas and Jesus. Always those twins that we would find, those spirits. And he said it creeps right into the church. He talked about how there in I believe in demonology, he begins to talk about the Reader's Digest magazines, how that when the story, the testimony of Donnie Morton went forth in Reader's Digest, how that one of the very next issues, then a woman by the name of Mrs. Pepper, she was a spiritualist, and her story began to be placed in there, how they had tried to prove and test her, and how that she was really, he said there's a lot of fakes and a lot of phonies, but he said she was actually a real spiritualist. And he said then the people began to pick that up and say, oh, I guess Brother Branham's just the same thing. And he said, but yet she never gave God the glory for what she was doing. It was a money thing and a scam and all of that. But yet for him, all that he did for the glory of God. And so he said, you watch those two spirits, how they follow one another. So I begin to watch things, whether it be in our own family, whether it be in my personal life, or whether it be situations with the church or around the message. When we begin to see revival and we begin to see the Holy Spirit moving in a mighty way, you just watch the devil, the old enemy. He won't just leave that the way that it is. That doesn't mean that revival can't continue on, but it means that he's going to try to come in and upset it any way that he can. He's going to come in and try to upset the revival. So when we see the presence of God move in a mighty way, you can just expect and watch that the enemy's going to come in like a flood and try to upset the move of God any way that he can. Vice versa, when you begin to see Satan attack on every hand, and maybe you haven't seen a move of God in a while, you can just set your watch by it or set your calendar by it and see if there isn't something that God is trying to give to you or express to you. And maybe Satan has caught a whiff of that and he's trying to block it every way he can. He's trying to keep you from it and prevent you from it, because those two spirits, they'll follow right along with one another. That Brother Branham called them twins, and they'll be right there every time. So when we see a move of God begin to come into the church, many times a selfish spirit will creep in. Brother Branham said it this way in the Church Age book. He said sometimes a spirit of fear will creep in, and it'll begin to we'll begin to say, well, how can we preserve this that we've got? How can we keep it? And then we begin to come in with man-made ways and ideas, and we've seen it in the Pentecostal realms. Many of you have, and we've seen it creep right into the message ranks many times. If the Holy Spirit will move in a certain way in a service, then if we're not careful, we'll try to replicate that the next service. If the Lord moved in a certain way in a certain song and it feels like the Holy Spirit's not moving, we'll try to get him to move that way in that same song the next service. Or if the preacher did something and it worked last time, he'll try to just replicate that. But we don't want a replication of last week's service. I don't want a replication of what God did for us last Wednesday or a month ago or a year ago. I want a fresh outpouring of whatever he has for us tonight. Amen. So we don't want to try to, if we experience something sometimes in the realms of the flesh, we feel the presence of God a certain way. We think, oh, God, if I could just feel that again. Now, let's see. I knelt down here this certain way, and I had my hands this certain way. I was thinking this certain thought, and I was reminded of this certain quote. And we'll try to replicate that. But maybe that's not how God wants to deal with us at all for that time and place. But he has something else. Sometimes it's a mighty rushing wind. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's life. Lightning and thunder and fire, and sometimes it's just a little gentle breeze. Whatever he has for us, if we can get in the channel of what God would want for us, we'll come out better than anything we could have planned out or worked out or tried to work up, if we can just get into the channel of what God would have for us. So they come and they want him to give them a location. Said, oh, tell us about the kingdom of God. How's it coming? When's it coming? Where is it coming? He said, the kingdom of God is not with observation. It's not something you can put in a box. Even though I know many times around the message, we still try to contain him in a box. We have our favorite way that he moves, or our favorite people that he moves through, or our favorite style of music, or our favorite musicians, or our favorite songs. And we try to contain him to those things that, Lord, Lord, oh my, if it's not Brother Nathan tonight, I just don't know if I'll be able to do it. Or oh my, if it's not a certain, if he has Brother so-and-so in and says Brother so-and-so that I'd rather have, I just don't know if I can even go and enjoy it because I don't enjoy that brother as much. Or oh, if it's Brother Furman instead of Brother Hoover, or Brother Hoover instead of Brother Furman, I just don't know if I can really enter into the song service like I'd like to. Why? Because you put God in a box that you're comfortable with. Oh my, if he plays more tapes, then I don't know if I can keep going. If he plays less tapes, I don't know if I can keep going. Why? You've put God in a box. And you got him a certain way that you want him to be and something that makes you happy and tickles your fancy. And if it doesn't come that way, then you just, well, I guess that just wasn't for me. But maybe God is trying to express himself in a way to you that you've never had him express to you. Oh my, you know, I like vanilla ice cream and I like steak, and there's some things, I better not start talking about food tonight, Brother Furman's already hungry, but you know, if every meal my wife came out and set down steak and vanilla ice cream, after about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, or maybe it'd take 15 weeks, I don't know, but after a while I'd say, honey, you know I love steak and you know I love vanilla ice cream, but you know, anything else on the menu? Could we have some green beans or some salad or just a good old cheeseburger or some fried chicken or grilled chicken or Mexican something or other? And you know why? Because we're a people of variety. We may have our favorite things, we may have our favorite ideas or our favorite places, but you know, we can wear those things out sometimes too. So we are a people of variety because God is a God of variety. But many times we get a comfort zone, and if it doesn't come in our comfort zone, we get a little scared because we've tried to condense God down into a little box. You know, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, God had never moved exactly in that way in all the history of time. Now, he had dealt with Israel as a nation, and he had dealt with different ones in different ways, but to come down and actually fill 120 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they had never experienced anything like that. And Mike, can you imagine sitting there and fighting it? Oh, I'm not used to this, Brother Hoover. I don't like this feeling that I'm feeling. I'm not comfortable with this. It might make me cry. It might make me go down to the altar. It might make me go forgive my enemy. It might do something that might make me go something right that would make me feel uncomfortable. Oh my, why don't you just let the Holy Spirit move in the channel that he wants to tonight? But we try to put an address on it. We try to point people, where's the revival? Oh, it's down here on 1221 Silver Street. Or oh, it's over here in this other state or other country. Or it's at this physical building or this physical. No, the kingdom of God is not, it's without observation. Amen. I can't point you to an address. I can't point you to a city or state. I can't point you to a personality because God is moving all around the world. Amen. Amen. I know it's hard sometimes. We get in our little church of the open door mold and we like things the way that we have it. But right now as I speak, all around the world, God is moving. Even in time zones where in places where church services aren't taking place, God is moving in individuals. Maybe God's moving on a man's heart what to preach for Sunday morning and anointing him. Or maybe God is working a miracle or a testimony or something. He's moving more than just on 1221 tonight. Amen. Amen. I thank God that he's here, but I thank God that he's not just here. I thank God I don't have to point everybody to just a physical building, but it's more than that. We couldn't build a building big enough to fit the bride in around the world. And if we did, who would want to pastor them? Not me. Not me. God didn't call me to pastor the whole bride. I thank God that he didn't. But God raises up men with personalities and gifts and things that attracts a certain group of people, and maybe 10 miles down the road or 10,000 miles down the road or 500 miles down the road, he raises up another man with another gift, and somebody goes over there and they're so happy and blessed, and we might walk in and say, well, it was all right, but it wasn't what we're used to. You know, that, you know, it doesn't have to be what we're used to. Right. Amen. Just as long as it's according to the word. The falling apart of the world, 1962, Brother Branham says, a kingdom, not a politicianal system, not a political system, not a church system, not a denominational system. It all becomes Pharisees and doctors of the devil. Oh, goodness. What? Trying to put God in a box. Oh, this is our system. This is our way. This is how we do it. 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards. This is what to expect. And we put God into a political move or to a denominational move or into some type of a doctrinal move or whatever it would be. He says, and it all becomes Pharisees and doctors of the devil, but we receive a kingdom, an eternal king, who is the eternal word, who has eternal life by his eternal word to his eternal people, who has eternal life, and we're partakers of this. Oh my, that's the thing. Now, anything that pulls you away from that is wrong. That's a false Messiah, a false anointing. Oh my. Anything that pulls you away from that, from what? From the movement of the Holy Spirit, however he would move, through whoever he would move. If a little thought creeps in and says, oh my, Brother Nathan's the only one, or Brother Bill, or Brother David Hoover, or Brother Trevor, or Brother Arnie, whoever, my, they're the only one that I could eat from. Brother Branham said, so narrow-minded that you can't listen to another preacher. What is it? Something that pulls you away from a move of the Holy Spirit. Something that pulls you away that if the Holy Spirit would move on this brother to go witness to this person and this brother to go witness to that person, you say, well, it couldn't have been God because he didn't lead me to do that. No, God didn't need 734 people to go help him. He called that specific person for that. Anything that pulls you away from that is wrong. That's a false Messiah, a false anointing. Oh, he said the brother had such an anointing. What kind of anointing? That's it. Hitler had an anointing too. Khrushchev's got one. Also, Pope Pius has one also. What kind of anointing you got? More than just an anointing. He said all these men are under some type of anointing, but what type of anointing is it? He said if it's not anointed with this word and vindicate every word to be truth, leave it alone. Wrong. If it don't produce itself, then it isn't germatized. It'll show its color. Oh, say, but we, that was for another age. We leave that thing alone, he says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. Brother Branham said that he is the same in every way, the same in every detail, except his physical body here on earth. As he was when he walked the shores of Galilee. Amen. The same in every detail, the same in every attribute, the same in every power and every manifestation. He's the same tonight, except that we don't have the physical body walking in that same way on the earth that it is, because he now has a many-membered body, but that many-membered body is still working in the same way in every detail. And then somebody say, well, I don't believe we need to go to church anymore. Well, that's not the same as he was back then. Right. Somebody say, well, I don't believe, you know, this holiness stuff. I think that was just something that Brother Branham taught because of the culture of the 60s and things. Well, that's not the same in every detail. Oh my, I don't think that, you know, I think that healing would stop in 1965 and we don't have any healings or prophecies or manifestations of the gifts now. Well, then that's not the same in every detail. Oh my, but he would be the same in every detail working through his people. He said, if it says anything contrary, leave it alone because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 24, verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Uh-oh. Lo, here he is over here. Oh, my. My brother Nathan, you ought to come over to this church over here. There ain't never been no revival. He said, no, that's not it. Ain't never been no revival like we're having over here. Oh, my brother so-and-so down at Walmart, you ought to come over to church with open door. Ain't never been nothing like this before. No, it ain't that. That's not the kingdom of God. It's not an address. Not, lo, he's over here, lo, he's at this church, or lo, he's with this group, or lo, he's with this doctrine. No, that's not what it is. He's anywhere that humble hearts can reach out and accept him. Amen. Amen. For there shall arise false Christs. Brother Branham taught it in 1965, false anointed ones. He broke down that word, what it would be. False Christ. If you look at that Greek word, it's pseudo-Christos. Pseudo-Christ. False Christ. False anointed ones. And false prophets. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This isn't something that's, you know, out here in the Catholic Church or some man out here that's a cult leader or something like that. It's not something that would just anybody with common sense would be able to see right through it. He says they'll rise false anointed ones, false Christs and false prophets with such great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elected. You talk about something that's close. that's close to the original, that twin working its way right down, not over to the Pentecostal church. That wouldn't deceive you. That wouldn't deceive the very elected. Don't get me wrong tonight. I believe that there's elected in the Pentecostal church. I believe there's people that'll be saved. I believe that there's people that'll come out of those denominations as well and receive the message that'll be bride. But I do believe to be bride in this age, you have to accept the message for your age. I know that hurts people's little feelings and things because they think it's a seclusionist thing, but you go back and look through the Bible. If you was coming out of Egypt into the promised land, you couldn't come out through a Dathan or a Korah or through a Jannes or a Jambres. You had to come out following Moses' message. If you was going to go and survive the flood of Noah's days, you couldn't have went in on somebody down here that had a little John boat or a motor boat or whatever it would be. You had to get in the ark that was part of Noah's message to make it, to survive. So I believe God does ordain a message for the age, but yet there will be people that are saved outside of that message. There are people that will receive eternal life, but yet, you know, that doesn't mean that those on the outside would be close enough to deceive the very elect. It had to creep right down into the age that we're living in. He says, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Everybody today going around trying to pull somebody somewhere. Oh my, Brother Nathan, you should have been over in this country where they're having a revival. They're doing this. Or Brother Nathan, you should have been over in this city where they're doing this. Or you should have been over at this church. Or you should have been over that church. He said, if they tell you he's in the desert or he's in the secret chamber or he's down here on this street or that street or this building or that city or country or whatever, he said, believe it not. God's not, that doesn't mean that God's not there. It means God's not contained to that. That means that God's not contained. If somebody says, hey, Brother Jimmy, you're missing out, buddy. You don't know. Oh, my, if you come over to this other state, to this other pastor, there's revival going on over here down in Florida or up into Canada or somewhere over here. The other, you ain't never going to make it over there in Jeffersonville. Just a bunch of, you know, it's so spiritually dead and things. I've heard that my whole life. You know, I want to text brothers every once in a while and remind them, hashtag spiritually surviving in Jeffersonville. Brothers have come right and told my family that. There's no way you can survive spiritually in Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville is dead. I love when God comes along and proves them wrong and says, you know what, even Jeffersonville isn't too dark for me. Oh, my hand isn't so short that I can only reach to maybe up to Utica, and then my hand's just too short. It won't reach Jeffersonville and New Albany and Sellersburg. And my eyes aren't so dim that I can see to where Brother Furman lives in Memphis, but then it gets so dark when you get, you know, about 3 miles away from Jeffersonville, I can't see no more. He's wherever people will reach out and accept him. Amen. Now, he might meet you in a secret chamber. This word secret chamber, we'll look at the meaning. It's like a prayer closet is one of the meanings that it can be. He can meet you in the secret chamber. But that doesn't mean when Brother Jimmy's down in his prayer closet and the Lord begins to move with him, he comes over and says, Brother Nathan, I don't know how you survive over here in your old house. He don't move in your prayer closet like he does mine. Oh, my, you got to come over to my prayer closet. No, he's not just going to meet me in a secret chamber. He's not just going to meet me out in some desert or someplace. God can meet me anywhere I can lift up my hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. He was with Jonah when he was headed the wrong direction. He was with Jonah in the bottom of the boat. He was with Jonah in the bottom of the whale. He's with Jonah in the bottom of the sea when he said, I cried from the bottoms of the mountains and from the depths of the sea. I cried out to God. God was right with Jonah wherever Jonah was. It never got too dark for God to find him. He never got too backslid for God to find him. He never ran too far or too hard for God to find him. Amen. Don't tell me he's over here or he's over there. He's wherever. He might find you on a bar stool. He might find you down in an alley somewhere. He might find you in a denominational church. He might find you backslid in a message pew. He might find you with needles in your veins, or he might find you driving as hard as you can away from the Lord in a car somewhere, and the Holy Spirit come down and convict you in your car seat there. He can find you wherever you're at. Behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not. This word, this Greek word here for secret chamber, it means a closet, a secret chamber, a storehouse, a storage chamber, a storeroom, a chamber, especially an inner chamber, a secret room. oh my, he's over here, Brother Nathan, he's over there. No, he's wherever I can reach up my hand and say, God, I need you. Amen. Sometimes we get this idea that we got to wait to get to church. I love coming to church. Don't get me wrong. I believe in going to church. I thank God for the unity that comes when we get together and all those licks of fire come in those doors, and maybe Satan has beat you up one side and down the other, and he tried to keep you from church on Wednesday. He tried to give you a sniffle. He tried to make you late from work. He tried to catch you in traffic or with the train or whatever he tried to catch you with, and maybe you almost didn't make it tonight, and then you step in here and you say, I made it. Thank God. I don't know. I'm almost too tired to even lift up my hands, but I'm going to get something out of the service tonight. I thank God for that. I thank God for when the Holy Spirit comes together and we get these licks of fire together. But don't get the idea that he can't, the same God that moves on Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday for Brother Will and wherever anybody else might go or visit or whatever they do. Oh my, don't think that God can't move on Monday and Tuesday. And Friday and Saturday, just the same way that he can on Sunday and Wednesday. Don't put God in your Church of the Open Door Sunday, Wednesday box and say, oh, I'm so sick, Brother Nathan, if I could just get up there in that prayer line on Wednesday. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your faith. I appreciate your confidence. I'd love to lay hands on you and pray for you if you're still sick on Wednesday. But why wait till Wednesday? He's God on Monday. He's God on Tuesday. Amen. Oh, my, I'm struggling with temptations, and I'm struggling this, and I'm struggling that, Brother Nathan. Oh, if I could just get to Sunday morning service, and God would anoint you to preach something, or if he'd just lead you to play the right tape, I know I'll be all right. You don't have to wait till Sunday. He can deliver you on Saturday. Amen. Amen. He can provide a way of escape for you on Friday. Don't put him into some box of it's got to be a certain time or a certain way or a certain location. No, God is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. Amen. I hope I see you at church on Sunday, but you don't have to wait till then. Matthew 24, verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice he didn't say the coming of the Son of God. He said the coming of the Son of Man. This day the scripture is fulfilled. I know that might stumble your denominational, traditional ideas, but the Son of Man came and he shone from the east to the west. Right. Amen. As the lightning, it wasn't done in a corner. He said, this isn't something that's done over in, hey, Brother Layton, come over here in this prayer closet. Let me show you what God's doing. Hey, Brother Hoover, come over here to this certain church. The move of God's happening over here, but not anywhere else. It wasn't done in a corner. It shone from the east unto the west. Acts 26, verse 26, Paul speaking to King Agrippa. He says, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Amen. I know today sometimes you walk down the streets and you ask somebody if they've ever heard of what God did in this age, and they may not have a bit more idea than nothing. But I bet you if you was in the 40s or the 50s or the 60s and you walked down the streets of Jeffersonville, they'd say, yeah, I know that Billy Branham. They might have had a lot of different responses to you, but I bet you they knew him. They knew him in Finland. They knew him in Jamaica. They knew him all over the world. The king of, I guess he was a king or president. The president of Jamaica called for Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, we need you to come to our country. We believe it's the only thing that can save us. Oh my, can you imagine if every political leader would have said that? Hey man, it wasn't just for Jamaica. It wasn't just for the United States. This thing is for whosoever will, let him come. It wasn't done in a corner. It hit the newspapers in South Africa. It hit the newspapers in Finland. All around the world, it wasn't something that was hid in a corner. I know some of them that walk away and leave, they've got a perverted idea of it. They say, oh, it's something that's hid in the living room. Somebody whispers and says, come over here and have supper with us and we'll slip you a book. Well, I don't know who witnessed to them or testified to them, but they apparently did a pretty poor job of it. But I hope you're shining your light a little bit better than that. Amen. I hope that people can know about God on your work and at your school and down at the gas station and wherever you go, that you can shine a light. That don't mean that you got to shove a message book down everybody's throat that you meet, but it means that you can be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that you don't have to beg them and persuade them to church or get them to come in the secret of your home and show them something, but you can be standing out in mire and say, oh my, God has been so good to me. God has healed me when I was sick. God saved me when I was lost. God has been better to me than I deserve. You don't have to wait to come to church to have a testimony meeting. In fact, if you look back through the Bible, most of the testimonies didn't happen at church. They happened out on the streets of Samaria or Jerusalem or Judea somewhere. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Not done in a corner. He said, "I didn't shun to declare unto you all the counsel." Now, when you see personality cults and things rise up, whether it be out in the religious realms or out in the political realms, or whether it be right down creeping to our message ranks, whatever it would be, when you see personality cults or doctrinal cults or whatever they are rise up, you can quickly recognize that this verse doesn't apply to them. Because you get around them and you try to see, well, what is it that you're trying to say, brother? What is it that you're... Oh, it's just a revelation. It's just something that God's got to... You know, that was the whole Thunders move, but it didn't stop there. It creeps right into other different, you know, doctrines and movements and personalities and things. Oh, it's just a revelation, Brother Hoover. I can't tell you about it. Well, Paul did. Brother Branham did. Paul said, "I didn't shun to declare you the whole..." He didn't go to the Ephesians and say, "Now look, I would write you a letter, but I can't explain it. It's just a revelation, and you just stick around with me and say the right keywords and things, and you'll get it. I'll work you up into it." He said, "I didn't shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Hey, man, it's not something that we're ashamed of. It's not something that we're... When somebody says that to me, "Oh, brother, it's just a revelation," I think, oh, what they mean is they don't have anything, so they have to hide what they're talking about. Oh, well, it's just something we can't explain. How'd you get the new birth, brother? Oh, I can't put it into words. Oh, really? Well, how did it feel when God came and changed life? Well, I just can't, it's something I really just can't describe. Well, you know, I don't know about some of you sisters, but, you know, if you brought a child into this world and gave birth and you laid there in labor or maybe for 18 hours and then they realized this ain't going to work and they did a C-section and somebody asked you, what was that like going through that experience? Well, I really couldn't tell you. I don't know how I would explain it or put it into words. I would question whether you had actually went through this birthing process. But then when it creeps into religion, people say, well, you know, it's just a revelation. Maybe someday you'll have an 18 hours of labor in a C-section. You'll understand what it's like, but I couldn't tell you. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel. Not some mysterious something. Not some mysterious something of, shh, we can't, don't tell anybody, it's a secret. What that means is you don't have nothing to tell anybody about. You don't have anything that's going to help anybody, so you got to make it some big put-on mysterious smoke and mirrors something of, oh my, look at this great big bubble of nothing that we have. Amen. Brother Layton said it right. The book's open. Amen. No, it's not hidden no more. Amen. The Son of Man came and revealed the Word. Oh my. Brother Bam said, "I'm not the Son of Man. I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man." He came and revealed the Word. It's an open book. Whosoever will, let him come and lay his eyes upon the open book and see what God has done. Amen. You don't have to hide it from nobody. I like what Brother Danny Steeman said about his dad. After his dad had fought it for all those years and tried to hinder them from coming to the message, then once he got it, he didn't say, "Oh, it's just a revelation." He said, "What do you think happened in the garden?" That's how he started witnessing his people. Now, I don't know. I depend on how much you know and how God leads you. I couldn't recommend everybody witness that way, but maybe he will lead you to witness that way. But it wasn't beating around the bush of, oh, it's just a revelation. At least he had something to say. Yes. Paul said, "I didn't shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God." When their eyes were opened, they knew him, 1964. And the Bible said there was false Christ raised up. That's true. What was it doing? Trying to put out the light of that real one coming. See, we've had many cults, clans, and everything else rise up and take you over to Canada and stick you in a shelter somewhere up some other place and lead a bunch off this way and that way. Just exactly repeating itself again. What's it trying to do? What is it trying to do? He's trying to shut the light of the truth out. Oh, don't think that was back in the denominations. It creeps right into the message. What was it? What was the trailer park out there in Sierra Vista? A little move. Oh, come out here and be a part of this. It's some big secret something. And then you see what they got into. It was a mess. It was a spiritual mess. Because why? Oh, something great over here. We'll just pull you off to this side and pull you off over here. And he said, what is it doing? It's trying to put out the real light. You notice before Jesus came, we'll look at it in a moment in the book of Acts, all different kinds of false Christs began to rise up here and there. And Gamaliel said, look, there was this one that took a bunch out in the desert and this one that did this over here. What was it? It was so saturated with false Christs by the time the real Christ got there that the people thought, oh, just another one of those guys. Just another one of those guys. Oh my, just another cult leader, just another something or other out there trying to get people away. It was so saturated with the false. Satan had planted so many false seeds that when the real truth thing came, the people were confused and didn't know how to receive it. Don't you realize that's what happened again in this age? Right about the time the message began to come, here came this one with a sensation and power in their hand and smelling demons and biting demons and all these different things going on. Fanaticism. Fanaticism, what was it trying to do? Distract from the real light. Now this word cult, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says a formal religious veneration or worship. Now if we just apply that, that's what a cult is, then any religion in the world and any Christian group would fall under this, just a form of religious worship. We all have that. A system of religious beliefs and ritual. Well, we could point at the Catholics and say, well, that's them. They do that. And they could point right back and say, well, there's certain things you all do. You have communion the first Sunday of the month. You sing Only Believe before the tape. You do all these things. A system of religious beliefs and rituals. Also, its body of adherence. Any religious group would fall into that. A religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. Oh, my, we'd all fall into that, wouldn't we? That unorthodox church down there in New Albany. A system for the cure of disease based on dogma set for by its promulgator. A great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work as a film or a book. I don't know about you, I have great devotion to a person, the person. I have great devotion to a book, the book. Amen. So, you know, when we look at this the standard meaning of a cult, really, you know, about every religious group would fall into it. But when we think of a cult, we don't think of Merriam-Webster's determination of it. But we look around, we've had our Jim Joneses. We've had our Marshall Applewhites and our David Koresh's. And we've had all these different political cults and personality cults and religious cults rise up. And we see, what does it do? It leads people off into either spiritual or physical death. But a real move of God will take you into physical and spiritual life. Amen. See how the perversion comes, those two twins. And sometimes they imitate one another and look so close one to the other. Oh my, look, it's some great something, some big great group, and some big great movement, all this. And one leading the group right directly. Brother Bram said that's what the goats did. They led the sheep right out there. And they got in, they led them down the little gutter, you know, and right to the chopping block. And then the goat jumped out. Cults and things leading people into spiritual death or physical death. I don't know about you. I don't want to drink the Kool-Aid. The Fundamental Foundation for Faith, 1955. He says, you know what every cult in the world today is from? Let me read it again. You know what every cult in the world today is from? Now, he's not talking about where it originated. He goes back many, many times and he says he can take every, you know, because of Hyssop's Two Babylons and historians like Josephus and different ones, he said, I can take you back into Genesis and show you where every cult and every ism came from. But he's not talking about their origin. He's talking about what produced it in this quote. You know what every cult in the world today is from? Every cult in the world raised up today because of hungry children. You said you was hungry tonight. You came hungry tonight, but you realize you get hungry enough. Me and Philip were going into Best Buy a few months ago. There was a man out there. You know, he seemed like he had some mental problems and things, but you could tell he was homeless the way he was dressed and had a little shopping cart there with sleeping bags and things in it. And as we got ready to walk into Best Buy, he was standing there, leaned over a trash can, and he reached down in. He pulled up about a half-eaten cheeseburger out of there, and his eyes got real big, and he thought he'd hit the jackpot. And I just stopped a minute. I said, sir, and you could tell he'd maybe been, you know, abused or something like that. He kind of ducked back. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I said, no. I said, I want to talk to you a minute. And he had this half-eaten cheeseburger in his hand, Brother Hoover. I said, you know, here I am, pulled in a car with air condition, and you know, I didn't have the biggest bank account in the church probably, but I had money in the bank and I had a couple $20 bills in my pocket.
had a house at home that the utility bills were paid, and clothes in the closet, shoes on my feet. I said, I want to help you out a minute. I said, you see that right over there? There's a Dairy Queen across the parking lot. I said, I want you to take this $20 bill and go get you some food. Don't eat that. And he said, thank you, sir. Thank you. And he just kind of backed away. And I watched him. And he made a beeline right for that Dairy Queen. Went in, probably got him. He might have, who knows when he had ate a good meal last. He might have got him four burgers. I don't know what he got. But he was excited about this half-eaten cheeseburger in the trash can. Brother Bram says, starving children will eat from a trash can. You see people, and you look around, you see some of these people, and they get caught up in cults, whether it's religious or political or personality cult, whatever it would be. They get so excited. They're so worked up and so enthused. And you look at it and you think, that would turn my stomach. I couldn't sit under that. I couldn't sit and listen to what goes on, what takes place. What is it? Starving children will eat from a garbage can. You would be scared to death to go down and eat some type of, you find a dead animal on the side of the road and maggots in it and it tore up and everything and raw meat, and you'd be scared to death to eat it. All the diseases and stuff you might get, and infections, and somebody in some other country might be laying there with their belly swelled out and somebody hit some animal on the road. They don't care. Cook it, grill it, fry it, leave it raw, whatever. They're just starving to death to get something. Just get something. They got so hungry there in Samaria one time, they was boiling one another's babies and eating pigeon dung. I don't know about you. I've never been that hungry. I've never been that hungry. But so physically starving to death to where it was affecting them in a way that they would eat things that we would think, I'd never eat that. You get hungry enough, you might. There was a wagon train. Many of you have read about it in history. We're kind of off track tonight, but yet we're not really either. Wagon train headed, I believe it was going to Oregon, and they began to go through a place that it hadn't really been an established trail, but a man said, I can take you this other route, and it'll get you there quicker. And they followed his advice, and they got stuck out there in the mountains in the winter, the Donner Party, and they began to die one after another. And as one of them would die, the other one would look over and think, if I eat him, I don't have to die. And they began to eat the dead. Cannibalism. Maybe you're not so hungry tonight after all. Burger King's not sounding so good to you right now. But when it's that or die, and they're faced with this decision, many of them, it psychologically affected them the rest of their life. But he said every cult in the world raised up today because of hungry children. Somebody so hungry that they got excited at a little glimpse of something. Oh my, a little something, a little sign, a little wonder, a little something over here. And they got so excited they ran after it. Didn't matter if it was scriptural. Didn't matter if it was contrary to the word. They just ran after it because it had been so long since they had seen anything. Every cult in the world raised up today because of hungry children. That's what made the heathens in the heathen land worship idols. Hungry children. They were hungering for God. And they couldn't see him, so they began to fold together clay and gold and marble and wood and things and begin to worship things that was made by their hands. And we look at that and we think, that is ridiculous. That is, well, I can't even imagine doing that. And we'll go out and wax our car for 4 hours and put in 20 hours of overtime at our job and sit there with the clicker for 14 hours and binge watch some of your favorite TV show with your popcorn. And then, now lay me down to sleep. And we think they're idol worshipers. We think they're crazy. Heathens out there worshiping some little image. At least they thought they was worshiping God. Many times we don't even realize that we're making gods out of things. They actually knew. They went intentionally and they carved and they chipped and they chiseled and they waxed and they polished. And many times we're out there, you know, doing whatever it is we're doing, not realizing we're making a god out of it.
Right.
He said, that's what made the heathens in the heathen land worship idols. Hungry children. That's what made fanatics go across the country. Hungry children trying to look into the word to find out if this is right or if that's right. Every cult sprang from that. And today many things through that, honest-hearted people hungering and thirsty for God. And there's something in a man or a woman all the way back from the origin tells them that there's eternal life somewhere. Some seek it in an idol. Some seek it in a shrine. Hungry-hearted people seeking for eternal life. Reaching out for a move of God, and they see a glimpse of something.
And they jump for it, and they don't even think, well, wait a minute, is this scriptural? Is it? Brother Branham said, if the angel of the Lord told him something that was contrary, he said, I wouldn't believe it.
Amen.
And many times because of a little glisten or a glow or a shimmer or something, we jump at it and we say, oh my goodness gracious, did you see, Brother Hoover, what's happening? Did you hear about this over here? Did you go over here to this? Did you see about this revival in this other country? But watch what it produces many times.
Amen.
Some of you have seen pictures on the internet of people in other countries. Great big huge pillar of fire picture with Brother Branham kneeling down, prostrating themselves to it, praying to it. Why? Starving children.
Amen.
Starving children that was hungry for God, and somebody pointed at him and said, oh, William Branham is this or William Branham is that, and they ran after it without seeing if it was contrary to the word or not. Without seeing what he said about it himself, without seeing what he said. He said, oh, I hope we'll maybe look at it next week. I know we're not gonna have time tonight. He said, I hope that you don't look at me and try to build a cult around me that I'm a god or something. He said, I don't think you would ever do that. Oh my, what would he say today? When around the world, Brother Trevor was in Ghana, and they said, Brother Trevor, next week when you leave, we're having a minister's meeting with a lot of ministers from around the whole country to discuss whether Brother Branham was God or not. How could that even be a topic at a minister's meeting? Hungry children that are being fed from a garbage can. Acts 5, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that what ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days there rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. What was it? Starving children running after this guy. And they was either killed or scattered abroad because they followed the wrong thing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. What was he leading them into? Spiritual and physical death, a false light. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Somebody said, oh, Brother Nathan, did you hear what so-and-so's saying? Did you hear what Brother so-and-so said about you? Did you hear what so-and-so did about the church? Let me tell you, if this is of God, no man, no personality, no group of people can destroy it. And if it's not of God, it needs to be destroyed anyhow.
Amen.
Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, 1961. Did you know how the Millerites, before they came Seventh-day Adventists, what they did up here in 1919, got their wings, you all seen it in the Courier paper, and got up here to fly away that morning that was taking Daniel 70 weeks, you see, Millerite. Then later on by Mrs. Ellen White, which was their prophetess, turned around and called them Seventh-day Adventists. And now they've changed their name to the Voice of Prophecy. See, three different names of the same cult. Now, today that's offensive to us. Oh, I can't believe he would call that woman's name, or he would talk about these names of these denominations. But he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he was trying to shine light and trying to help people and try to get them out of these things.
Right.
Fellowship by Redemption, 1955. Men and women must come back to the Word. I spent practically all my time in California after seeing so many cults arising, so many indifferent things, so much stuff that wasn't of God. And I'm not here today to criticize anyone. I'm only here to try and preach the gospel. But when you see so many things rise up under flattery and ministries built on personalities, then you're going to be setting on sinking sands. He goes to California and he sees this, a cult over here and a cult over here. Oil in the hands over here and blood in the hands over here and blood in the forehead over there and oil in the forehead over here. And this one seeing, you know, demons that are biting people. And this one over here smelling a demon. And this one over here saying they got power in their hand. Brother Bam said, you don't have any power. Not one of us has any power. He said, you got authority. And he said, what do? They build it upon a personality under flattery and things. Ministries built on personalities. He said, you're going to be setting on sinking sands. Don't think that stays out there in the denominational realm. It creeps right into the message. And people build these things. And then when that man goes off the scene, what have they got? Sinking sand. and their doctrines and their ideas and their legalism and their formalities and their rituals, and they look around, they sink a little more, and they sink a little more, and they sink a little more until it's up to their eyeballs. And then they're saying, oh, God, help us. Get us out of this thing. Well, why didn't you get out of it before you was up to your eyeballs in it? Oh, my. Why didn't you look into the Word and see if it was scriptural instead of rallying around something that was just a flattery or a personality, a ministry built on a personality? He said, then you're sitting on sinking sands. A ministry must be built totally and wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, no matter what any new thing comes up. Somebody said, oh, Brother Nathan, you ought to go over here and Brother so-and-so teach. Ain't nobody teaches it like he does. That raises a red flag for me. Oh, somebody coming into town and say, oh, bless God, there's nobody preaches this doctrine but me. I think, well, it must be false doctrine then, because like Brother Layton said a minute ago, the book's open. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm not bringing nothing new that hasn't already been brought. Amen. If somebody's bringing something new, they're trying to work you up into some idea or rally around some person or rally around some doctrine or dogma. Oh, no, I don't want their Jim Jones movements. I don't want their Marshall Applegate movements. I don't want to drink the Kool-Aid or put a gun to my head or try to catch some comet. I've recognized the opening of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Amen. Not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Somebody said, oh, brother, you hear this over here, and you spend 6 months studying that, and then you, well, I don't know. I don't see it like Brother so-and-so teaches it. Let me ask Brother so-and-so over here, and oh, Brother so-and-so says, oh, no, that's a bunch of garbage. You got to see it my way, and then you go over and study it 6 months that way, and you're pulled over here and pulled over there, and before you know it, you're just spinning like a top.
Right.
Return in Jubilee, 1962. If you joined up with some cult that tries to keep you away from fellowship with other brethren, leave the thing. You realize that's a denominational spirit? Brother Bram said the Pentecostal move started on Azusa Street, 1906. The Holy Spirit began to fall. That wasn't make-believe. That was the real, genuine restoration of the gifts. That wasn't some workup. That wasn't some mental emotion. Brother Hoover shared some of the testimonies and things that was happening in that time, the Holy Spirit outfalling, and even through for decades after, moves of God at different Bible colleges and things that followed through that, the healing revival and all these things that came. It wasn't just some emotional workup. It was the genuine Holy Spirit falling on the people. But what did they do? A little fear crept in. A little jealousy crept in. Oh, nobody can do it like Brother so-and-so. And oh my, I like Brother so-and-so better than Brother so-and-so. And why don't we set him up as a bishop over us, and we'll rally around this. We'll be oneness, and we won't have anything to do with the Tunis, and the Tunis won't have anything to do with the assemblies, and the assemblies won't have anything to do with the UPC. And what do? They begin to divide God off and section him. And their favorite doctrine and their favorite move and their favorite this. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Nazarene, I'm this, I'm Pilgrim Holiness, I'm all this. And they begin to spin off. I'm latter rain, I'm former rain, I'm upper rain, I'm under rain, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other.
Right.
And they would pick whatever their favorite parts were, and they would rally around that. And they would start a personality cult, and they'd raise up a man up to run the whole thing, and everybody'd have to report to him, and he'd tell them, now look, you assemblies, don't you go over there and have anything to do with that oneness meeting. You UPC, don't you go over. You go over and support that Pilgrim Holiness meeting. You're out of our church. You don't you worry about coming out. You coming back. You just turn in your card and hit the road. You go over here and hear William Branham. You're out. Somebody else would say, oh my, we're this, we're that. You go hear Jack Cole, we won't fellowship with you more. You go hear this one, you go hear old Roberts, he's not with our denomination, he's not with our group. We'll draw a circle and draw you out. He says, if you joined up with some cult that tries to keep you away from fellowship with other brethren, leave the thing. Somebody say, now, Brother Hoover, you go fellowship with Brother so-and-so over here across the street. You're out, buddy. You don't come back here. He said, get away from the thing.
Amen.
Yes, minister brothers run into that. Well, you know, when I was trying to go to Haiti, I've told you before, but I felt a burden on my heart for those people after the earthquake. And when I began to investigate it, they said, well, there's two big churches there in the main city. And if you preach for the one, the other one won't have you. And if you preach for them, that one won't have you. And I thought, well, forget it then. Forget it then. Why go preach to one divided group that has animosity to this group and not be able to help that group? And God doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. He said, you know, if you can't forgive your brother, then I won't forgive you. But we hold things, little jealousies and little petty things, and you got to do it my way or you're out. He said, get away from the thing. Amen. Fellowship, again, 1956. We always fence ourselves off and make cults and clans, but God wants us to tear down them barriers like you all are doing around here now, bringing the whole body of the Lord Jesus in fellowship around the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I can fellowship around that. There's a lot of things I can't fellowship around. I can't fellowship around lifting Brother Branham up to a place of deity. I can't do that. I can't fellowship around that. I can't fellowship around some man-made legalism of you got to do this and you can't do that and you got to do this and you ask him for a scripture or a quote and well, that's just what the pastor says. I'm just doing what the pastor says. I can't fellowship around that, Brother Layton. But what I can fellowship around is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we can lift him up as the sacrifice, lift him up before the people, we can have fellowship around that. You know, I can fellowship with the Baptist. I can fellowship with the Methodist. I can fellowship with the, you know, whatever they are, twofold, threefold, fivefold, two souls, one soul, no soul, whatever they got, you know, thunders, return, whatever they are. You want to fellowship with me around the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in this age? I can fellowship with you. But not around some personality or some dogma or some doctrine or something like that that pulls everybody else around and says, well, the thunders can't fellowship with this one and the return can't fellowship with that one and this church over here can't fellowship with that one unless they just agree that they'll do it exactly their way and this one over here, don't reach out and call that brother or you'll get in trouble. No. God called us out of that garbage. But yet people still in the message, oh my, you got a cheeseburger in that trash can, Brother Layton? Let me have a bite of that. Oh my goodness. Now, if I go over and fellowship with brother so-and-so, this brother over here tells me I can't come back to this trash can no more. And I know there's some good half-eaten cheeseburgers in that trash can, so. Perfection, 1956. Look at it. In the world today where all this isms rises up, watch on all the cults of non-meat eating and legalistic that I've got to do so-and-so. If I don't speak with tongues, if I don't do this, if I don't shout, if I don't dance, there's something wrong with me. That's legalism. We are saved by grace through faith. Nothing what you done, it's what he did. So where do we come up with this stuff around the message? You got to see it my way and you got to do it my way. And if you don't attend my church or you don't fellowship with my circle of brothers, you're out. I'm so glad that I don't have to rely on any man or his circle of brothers or his doctrinal idea. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. Amen. Aren't you glad? Brother Lee, aren't you glad we don't have to live under that bondage, that we don't have to check in with Brother So-and-so? Hey, Brother So-and-so, I know you're getting ready to have service up there in Virginia or down there in Florida or over here in India. I'm getting ready to have service too, and I wanted to see, would it be okay if I preach this? I'm glad I don't have nobody to report to. Hey, man, I appreciate my deacons. I appreciate my trustees, but I don't text them and say, hey, is it okay if I read this quote tonight? Would it be okay if I play this tape tonight? Or would you all have a problem if I invited Brother So-and-so in? I report to one person. Amen. Amen. That shouldn't just go for the pastor. You as individuals should have a straight connection to him too. That you don't have to call me and ask me, Brother Nathan, is blue okay? Is it okay to paint my steps blue? Or do you think that's a demonic color? And you know, Brother Hoover might because he's not a UK fan. But I had a brother tell me one time, he said, did you know Brother Branham said that blue lights are demonic? I said, no, brother, I didn't know that. And you'll have to show me that quote. And it's been about 7 years and he never has showed it to me. I said, I shopped too much at Kmart as a kid to believe that one. There was something, we would rejoice over those blue light specials, Brother Hoover. Blue light special in the children's department. My mom would get the cart and we'd load up with jeans and t-shirts and I don't know where people come up with this stuff. A color being demonic or this or that or the other, or a person that, you know, we come up with stuff many times and you know, I'm not making fun of the brother. He probably heard it somewhere, but he didn't hear it on a tape. Because you can go type in the words blue light or blue lights or lights with an asterisk, or light with an asterisk, or blue with an asterisk, or whatever. You won't find the quote there. But people hear these things, and they, many times if we're not careful, we just attribute it to, oh, didn't the Bible say this, or didn't Brother Bam say that? No, actually, they didn't. They didn't. Maybe the old lady's almanac said it, and you attributed it to them, but that didn't mean they said it. Brother Bam said, that, you know, it gets attributed to the Bible many times. He said that they have the old saying, God helps those who help themselves. He said, that's absolutely contrary to the scripture. He said, God helps those who can't help themselves. Amen. I'm so thankful because I couldn't save myself. I know a lot of people, they think they could pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They were so righteous and so holy that they're just going to grab their own bootstraps and pull themselves into heaven. Not me. You might try it if you want to, but not me. I couldn't do it on my own. I can't make it on my own. I'm not depending on Nathan Bryant. I'm not depending on my personality. I'm not depending on my memory. I'm certainly not depending on my good looks or my hair or anything like that. I'm not depending on my bank account. I'm not depending on my IQ. I'm not depending on anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I depend on Him for my finances. I depend on Him for my health. I depend on Him for the salvation of my children. I depend on Him for eternal life. I depend on Him for every breath that I breathe. I'm dependent on Him tonight. Amen. Without Him, I would just be I don't know what I'd be, just a leaf floating around in the wind or something. I wouldn't be able to make it on my own. But I'm thankful that I don't have to. I'm thankful that He didn't come and say, now, Nathan, if you can just do this and this, and this and this, and if you can just sit under brother so-and-so, and when he tells you, you just do it that way, then, you know, then maybe you'll be able to have salvation. He said, you was already saved before the foundation of the world. Amen. Right. I mean, it's time we recognized who we are and stopped living in fear of handbook of somebody's message idea of what they think we should and shouldn't do. You know, I can give you a couple handbooks of what we should and shouldn't do. Amen. I can give you some handbooks, but I didn't write them. Amen. I didn't write them. In fact, even the men that put the pen to the page didn't write them. It was God that wrote it. Amen. I can give you a handbook tonight to live by, but it's not Nathan Bryant's 50 Steps to Live an Overcoming Message Life in Laodicea and approved by Brother Nathan and set up by Brother Nathan and designed by Brother Nathan. Oh, if you got something like that, you better just burn the thing, no matter brother whoever it's from. Go back to the Word. What did the Word say? Questions and answers on the seals, 1963. People say, now you got to belong to this or that, an organization, a certain organization. If your name isn't on our book, you're lost. Now that's cult, see? That's cult. Now, I like his version better than Webster's, I'll be honest. I like the Kentucky 7th grade education version of what a cult is a lot better than Merriam-Webster's 17th edition or 13th edition or whatever it is that I have, 11th edition, I think it is. He says to say, either you got to come our way and you got to have your name on our book and you got to come through our set of rules or you're lost. He said, that's a cult. That's a cult. Don't think that stays out in the denominations. It creeps right into the message. Amen. See, there's only one way you can be saved, and that is not him that willeth or him that runneth, him that is God who shows mercy. Trying to do God a service, 1965, the musicians would come. I know we're a little late tonight. I'm trying to wrap this up. If the Lord will let me, and if he doesn't, then you'll just have to bear with me because I'm going to obey him and not your appetite. Trying to do God a service, 1965. Many sincere person go join an organization or a group or a cult of some sort, and there they die spiritually. We've seen some of them have joined them, you know, the Jim Joneses and those, you know, take them down to Guyana and drink the Kool-Aid, or the different ones waiting on comets and things and mass suicides and things, let them into absolute physical death. But it doesn't stop there. Well, most of us are, you know, wise enough and have our eyes open enough to spot that pretty easy. But what does it do? He said it doesn't stop there. He said a lot of them join it and they die spiritually. False leaders taking them into spiritual death. He says you can't tell them nothing. They get that stuff drilled into them. Oh, my goodness. Now sounds like he's talking to message people. You know, you get around a certain pastor, and he's drilled this certain doctrine into them over and over and over, and you try to show them quotes and scriptures and things, and they can only see the two or three quotes or scriptures that he showed them for 57 years, and don't matter how many things you can show them, they've had it drilled into them. Service after service, meeting after meeting, revival after revival, and you sit there, and you sit there, and it's all they can see. Why? They've been spiritually brainwashed. You can't tell them nothing. They get that stuff drilled into them. Why, these bishops said this, and this said this, and this said this. You know them, right? You show them right in the Word of God where it's, thus saith the Lord. But our pastor, he said, I don't care what your pastor says. Don't care what I say or anybody else says. If it's contrary to God's vindicated word, the hour, the time, the message, and so forth, forget it. Stay away from it. Amen. Amen. I hope you're willing to take his advice tonight. Amen. I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's a guest minister. I don't care who it is. If it's something that's contrary to the word, now don't just the first time somebody says something that you don't understand or disagree with, or even that might be off the word, don't just tell them off a serpent seed and kick them to the curb. Have a little long suffering with them. But that don't mean you got to swallow it down. Brother Bram said, spit out the seeds. And you've got a right to go to that brother in love, not in a nasty attitude of, bless God, I'm going to teach this guy something. But go to that brother in love and say, brother, I don't understand. You presented this, and the Bible and the message say this, 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 and this over here, and you didn't have a scripture or quote to back up what you said. Can you explain to me where you got that from? You have a right to do that. You don't have to just swallow it down. He said, it don't matter what your pastor says. Don't matter what, don't care what I say or anybody else says. If it's contrary to God's vindicated word, the hour, the time, the message, and so forth, forget it. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Amen. You see why it's so important to have an absolute in this hour? To have an absolute of the word of God that we can go back to. And doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is. Don't matter what anybody's agenda is. Doesn't matter what rises or falls or comes or goes. We can go right back and say, this is the tie post. I have a tie post. Amen. My tie post tonight is not a person except the person. It's not a personality. It's not a book except the book. It's not somebody's agenda of what they think or somebody's legalism or somebody's form of godliness without a power thereof. It's back to the original tie post. What did the word say? We had a prophet in this age that he didn't come, and as I think Brother Danny said it this week, he didn't come and bring us a new book and say, hey, we're going to do away with the Bible, and here, just take this, take a Quran, or take a this, or take a that. He pointed us back to what the original word said.
Amen.
Amen. And if some man comes along, I don't care if he was a message, if he's got a message title, or a Pentecostal title, or an atheist title, or whatever his title, or his shoe size, or his bank account, if he comes and he says something contrary to this, you stay with this. You stay with the word of God. You stay with what it says. Amen. God bless you tonight. Somebody told me the other day, said they was talking to a family member and they told them what their absolute was. And I said, well, I said, it's hard for me to even sit down and discuss the scripture with that person because we have two different absolutes. If somebody comes to you and says, Brother Arnie, the Quran is my absolute, how are you going to fellowship with them? When they're going to want to keep pointing you back to, well, the Quran said this or the Quran that. So you said, I don't care what the Quran said. I care what the Bible says.
Right.
Somebody comes to you and says, well, bless God, this pastor over here in this other country, he's my absolute. Well, if he's not saying what this says, he ain't mine. Oh, bless God, this person over here, this doctrine over here, this one thing over this circle of brothers or this movement or this whatever it would be or you know, the way I see a certain doctrine, that's my absolute. If it's contrary to this, it's not my absolute.
Amen.
Amen. I'll stay with the tie post. Brother Ram said everything else is shifting sand. He said every true ministry must be built on Jesus Christ and the Bible. Jesus Christ in the Bible. Not on somebody's idea, not on somebody's agenda, not on somebody's buddy system of, hey, well, Brother Arnie teaches it, so I guess it's all right, and Brother so-and-so down the street, he does, and we're all brothers, and so we're just going to gather together. No, Brother Bam said, they said, oh my, you know, in the council of many, there's wisdom. He said, that wasn't talking about the word. He said, that was talking about politics and war and things like that. But Paul, when he came, he said, I didn't counsel with flesh and blood. I didn't say, now, Brother so-and-so over here, what do you see on it, and Brother so-and-so over there? He said, I didn't counsel with flesh and blood, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll try to close. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, in this age of deception and darkness, we recognize that it's so easy to get caught up into, Lord, movements or different things that would come along. And many times they even present themselves with a title of Christianity or a title of the message. But Lord, if it's built upon the wrong foundation, then as your prophet taught us tonight, as we looked into the quotes, it's just sinking sand. Lord, may we never come and try to build on someone's opinion or some man-made legalism. May we never come and try to build upon the personality of the pastor or the deacons or the trustees or some person in the message. May we not come and try to build on anything else but the doctrine of the apostles, which is the foundation that you said we should build upon. The original word, Father. Lord, in this age when you sent a prophet of God to restore our hearts back to that original word, not to take us away from it, not to tear us away, but to restore our hearts back to those original Pentecostal fathers, not just 1906, the restoring of the gifts, but the original Pentecostal fathers. On the day of Pentecost, he came to restore us back to a Jesus Christ that was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, may we not get pulled away from that restoration into something else just because it's popular or because it's shiny or because somebody else is coaxing us along to it. But Father, may we look into the Word and see what your Word promised for us. Lord, and if we see anything, Lord, whether it be in a personality, in a movement, in a church, whatever it would be, if we see something that's contrary to the Word of God, Lord, we don't have to get a critical spirit to that person. We don't have to rebuke them or call their name or run them down or try to destroy their character. But Lord, what we can do is to pray for them and try to stay away from that, Lord, if we feel like it's something that would be an error, something that would be contrary to the Word. Lord, help us to stay true to the Word. Lord, all around the world, there's ministries that are rising up of people pointing the people to themselves. Lord, we see it in Trinidad. We see it in Africa. We see it all over. Men even having people carry them into the congregations on their shoulders and chant their names. Father, oh God, if there's any name chanted in this church, may it be your name, Lord. May it be the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's any name that's cried out or lifted up or proclaimed before the people, may it be the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, all of our worship, all of our honor, all the glory, Lord, all anything that would be, a form of worship, may it be pointed to you, Father, and no one else. Lord, may we never try to lift the prophet into that place or the pastor or any other leader in the church. May we never lift ourselves up higher than just the gift that you placed us in, Father, wherever you called us to. But Lord, may our worship, may our desire, Lord, may our love be focused on you. Lord, may we not get caught up in the noise, and may we not get caught up in the excitement of movements here and there. And oh, he's in a secret chamber. He's in the desert. He's over here. He's over there. God, may we recognize we don't even have to be in church to feel your presence. Lord, I thank you that we come and we can feel your presence here. But Lord, I don't have to go to a secret chamber. I don't have to go to a geographic location. I don't have to go to an address. Lord, wherever I'm at, Lord, you are, because you promise you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, if we're at our jobs, if we're at our schools, if we're in the stores, Lord, if we're pumping gas into our car, wherever we're at, sitting on the bank fishing, out on vacation, wherever we're at, Lord, the prophet taught us you're just as close to us as our own right arm. We don't have to work something up or pull somebody here, pull them there, but we can recognize, Lord, if we just lift up our hands to you and say, Lord, I need you. I need you in this situation. I need you in this place and time. Lord, that you're there, wherever it would be. Whether it's on the backside of the desert, whether it's in the lowest valley, where it's on the highest mountaintop, Lord. David said, if I would ascend into the heavens, he's there. If I would go down to the pits of hell, he's there. He said, I can't escape his presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we not ever be guilty of pointing somebody to an address or a personality or a movement of doctrine or creed or whatever it would be, Father, but may we point them to Jesus Christ and him crucified. May we lift you up. Lord, may we lift our praises to you. May our admiration, Lord, be to you. Oh, Father, forgive us. Lord, if we've allowed other things to slip into the way, if we've allowed our hobbies or our careers or even our families or our, Lord, our monetary or physical things in our life, Father, of houses or cars or whatever it be, if we've let any of that creep in and become to a spot where it has more importance and more of a priority in our life than you do, Father, forgive us. Lord, we don't want to raise up anything to be an idol before you, Father. Lord Jesus, may we come to you, Lord, with just a broken and a contrite spirit and say, Lord, I'm too weak to do it on my own. I need you. I need you to come in and I need you to take control. Lord, maybe there's situations right now that are represented here tonight, different family decisions. Lord, raising children and different things, different personalities and things that parents are dealing with, or the children at school, maybe different things they're facing, different children that, Lord, maybe have tried to bully them or influence them or try to make fun of them or give them a complex, whatever it would be. Father, may you just, may the Holy Spirit just come down in such a way and just cover every situation that they're facing with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you give them the strength that they need. May you give them the wisdom that they need. Lord, just help us. Lead us and guide us. We can't do this on our own. We can't make it on our own. Lord, I can't lead this church on my own. Lord, I can't preach these sermons on my own. I can't make these decisions on my own. I need you. Lord, each family member, Lord, each husband, Lord, they need you to be able to lead their home the right way. Each wife, she needs you, Lord. Each mother, Lord, to be able to raise up their children the way that you would have them do, and to live for their husband the way that you would have them to do, to dress and to act the way a Christian lady ought to. Lord, we need you. Lord, us the brothers that go on the jobs and there's influences of worldly women or that are trying to pull on them and pull them into something that would be contrary to your word, Lord, where there's men that are trying to influence them to take a little sip of alcohol or smoke a little something or go someplace where you wouldn't be welcome. Father, give them the strength to take a stand. Lord, the children, as they go into the schools and they're influenced by popularity or by opinions or by strong personalities, Lord, give them the strength to take a stand. Oh, Jesus, we need you tonight. We need your strength. We have none of our own. We need your wisdom, Lord. We have none of our own. We need your grace. We need your mercy, Lord. Oh, we can't do it on our own, Father. There's no way. Lord, our humanity gets in the way. Our human weakness stumbles us, Father. It takes you to come on the scene. Lord, may you move for each one, Lord, each family, each individual that needs a touch from you tonight. Give them what they have need of, I pray, Father. Lord, in the presence, Lord, in your presence tonight. Oh, Jesus. May you come and give them what they have need of. Lord, if there's some of these young people or middle-aged or old, whatever their age, if they're sitting here tonight and they've allowed the busyness of life, and if they've allowed the pace of their schedule to get in the way and they haven't taken the time to seek you like they should, Lord, if they're sitting there empty tonight and they need the Holy Ghost, Lord, may you come like a mighty rushing wind again and fill the house. Lord, may you not just fill the building, but may you fill hearts. May you change lives. Lord, if there's something in their life that they're holding back, that they've made it a priority, maybe it's a besetting sin, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a temptation, maybe it's a hobby, whatever it is, if they've got something that they're holding back that they put before you and they're afraid to let it go, may you come tonight and grant deliverance. May you come tonight and grant victory, Lord. Lord, may we go out of here different than we was when we came in. May we go out of here encouraged, Father. We need you tonight, Lord. We need you, Lord. In the face of fanaticism, in the face of criticism and persecution, in the face of all kinds of cults and isms that rise up around and outside of and within the message, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us the strength. Lord, open our eyes to look into your word. May we look into your face, Lord. May we not look at someone else's opinion or someone else's version or someone else's twist on it. But Lord, may we look into the word, into that open book tonight, Lord, and see what you have for us in your word. May we not lean on the arm of the flesh. Lord, even the people here, Lord, I love them. I thank you for them. I thank you for this little group that you've blessed us with, Father, that, Lord, comes together, and all around the world, people that come by mention the love that they have for one another. I thank you for that, Lord. May Satan never come in and separate that love. But Lord, even they, Lord, in their best intentions, Lord, may they never lean on the arm of the flesh when it comes to me, Father. May they not be so dependent on me that they bypass you, Father. May they not be so dependent on me that if they couldn't get a hold of me, Lord, that they would just feel like they was helpless, Lord. But may they recognize it's you. Lord, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, Jesus Christ will still be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, if Satan was to rob me of all my mental faculties and I was to sit as a vegetable tomorrow, Lord, may they not be in a place to where they couldn't reach out and get a hold of you, Father, because they're so used to reaching out and getting a hold of me, Father. Lord, may they not lean on my coattails or the prophet's coattails or their parents' coattails or their grandparents, whoever it would be. May they not lean on the arm of flesh so much that when that flesh was taken away from them, they would be in sinking sands of just opinions and movements and doctrinal ideas. But Father, may they have an experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to where you could lead them and you could guide them, where you could use them, where you could place them into the body where you'd have them to be. Oh, Lord, when we can begin to see that, Lord, I don't think we've even seen the real glimpses of revival that you have for the bride. Oh, Lord, I'm not looking for more of the word to be revealed, but Lord, I'm looking for something that'll give us rapturing faith to get us out of here. I'm looking for something that'll get us away from the distractions of the world, that'll get our attention to where we don't come to church and sit in a half daze of the strains of the world that have us so bound up that our thoughts are under the things. But Lord, may we come with such sincerity and such desperation, Lord, that you could come and speak to our hearts. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for all that you do. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. Lord, may you come by our way again tonight, Lord. Just take us to the potter's house. Mold us and make us into the image that you would have for us. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Jesus.
Emmanuel.
Just worship him tonight.
Amen.
He's worthy of it.
He's God with us, revealed in us. His name is called. Amen.
Why don't you slip up your hand and worship him tonight?
Oh, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called
into his house.
magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, let's just worship Jesus Christ.
Why don't you just let everything else fade away tonight?
Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him.
Oh, can we take a few minutes tonight
just to forget about ourselves, just concentrate on Him and worship Him.
Let it all fade away, Lord.
Let's just concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, let's just worship Him, Jesus Christ.
Oh, why don't we stand together and sing it tonight?
Oh, let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands.
I want to magnify His name and worship Him.
Oh, let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord.
Forget about everything else tonight.
Oh, let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh, let's just concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just
I surrender. His perfect.
loves me. It's a love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way of telling me He loves me. If I'm successful while walking through this valley, I know He'll give me strength to climb.
Ruth wanted me to share a testimony. She picked up a bad habit from her daddy. I don't know if it's genetic or what, but as you can see, sometimes when I get nervous or thinking about something, I bite my nails. And so she started doing that, and she started having problems. She got finger infection after finger infection, and one was so bad we had to take her to a specialist because they were concerned. The doctor was concerned about her finger, And so we kept telling her, you know, you need to stop that. You're getting these infections. And she got them over and over. And so it had just become a habit to where it was hard for her to stop. So she just wanted to testify tonight that the Lord has helped her to stop biting her fingernails. And she hasn't had any finger infections in a long time. So praise the Lord. Amen. So if you've got a habit that you're trying to quit, God can do it. God can help you. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together before we go.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
Yes, Lord.
Tried and true. Oh, and with thanksgiving. Lord, I'll be a living.
tonight. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, Lord, prepare me. Whatever you'd have me to be, Lord.